Can I ask that we just close our eyes? Father, this morning, we come to you as children of the Most High God. And God, today, we thank you that we can sit in a building with amazing lights, with amazing people, with amazing church council. God, with the stage and with everything. But God, those things would mean absolutely nothing if it wasn't for Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. So today, God, we just want to submit everything to your feet. We thank you that it is our privilege to partake with these kids into this holy moment, God. And we just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to briefly talk about dare to give God your best. So it's a tough topic. Who ever tried to do something and they absolutely failed at it? So we've only got honest kids in here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Funny enough, this is really funny. I tried to play drums. I could never play drums. Went for lessons, still couldn't play. But somehow this morning, I'm like, it all worked together. I don't know what happened, but it worked. A lot of us have attempted things in life, and we thought we would be really, really good at it. Men suffer from this bizarre disorder where they've got really big mouths and they can do anything. But yet, when they actually do it, they suck. Right? Who's ever seen a man brag about something, and then when he attempts it, he fails miserably? Anybody seen that? Is it only me that watches TV? There's a particular sports team somewhere around the southern tip of Africa who suffers with this disorder, especially the cricket team. When it comes to the World Cup, the South African cricket team have always got big mouths, but they can never deliver. We will give our best. And then they go out against Bangladesh, Aldrin. We'll have to talk about that. Just I'll keep him under the water just a little bit longer. And so this morning, if you've got a Bible with you, please turn to the book of Matthew. It is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 22 and verse 37. If you are trying to follow along to Pastor Pete or the notes, those were Pastor Pete's notes that he has prepared. So Pastor Pete's actually prepared a message for today. So if I go tag, he can just come up and preach, right? But we won't do that. So Pastor Pete has prepared. So if you look on the notes, if you're trying to follow along on the notes, good luck. So let's read Matthew 22, verse 37. Did everybody find it? You don't go, yeah, you don't even have, what have you got there? Aldrin goes, yeah, yeah, and he's got nothing. Okay. Matthew 22, verse 37. It reads as follows. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourselves. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Amen. That's a powerful verse, really powerful verse. So this morning, I want to make a statement, brave statement. I believe that the things that keep us from doing our best for God are three things. It's our body, right? Our body, our soul, and our spirit. And this morning, I want to look at that. But before I look at that, I want to have some fun. Is it okay to have some fun? So I need three volunteers. I won't hang you. We're already drowning people. I'm not hanging anybody. So, no, not you guys. Come on, such overachievers. Goodness. Okay, I need someone else. Particularly, I need a strong male figure that is tall with a slightly gray beard. Any male figures. Paul, may I please have your assistance? Okay, let me see if I can find a volunteer that is chosen by my specifications on this side. I need a Yusuf. You want to? Yeah, come. Yusuf just wants to show off his beard. That's all. Okay, Yusuf, you guys can jump on stage for me. And I need one more person. But just to keep it even, I think we should get a girl on stage. You've got heels on, Tomlin. That's not going to work. Any girl that would like to volunteer? Monica, do you want to come? Let's try Mariam because you're barefoot. You might hurt yourself. Okay. So here's the goal. I want you three, to form a triangle somewhere here. So choose a spot, maybe over there, with this, holding the ends. So you need to try and form a triangle of a reasonably good size. If it's not untangled. Okay. So let's try and form a triangle. This might take a while. I'll just sit down. Oh, okay. They've got a triangle. I'll jump in the triangle. Okay. Do you guys think the lengths of the triangle are even? No. Let's try and get them even. So quickly, Yusuf, use your mathematical brain. It's fried because he just finished his exam. So, okay. Is that better? Trials, is that better? Where does it need to? A little bit to this side?
Yeah.
Okay, more or less, more or less. I'm not going to take out the measuring stick. I don't have one here, so I won't take it out. So here's the thing, right? I want you to imagine that Mariam over here is your spirit. And I want you to imagine that Paul, right, is our bodies. Okay? And I want you to imagine that Yusuf is the soul. Can you imagine it? Okay. What would happen if they pull back? So put a bit of tension on the rope. Okay. What would happen if I move Yusuf over towards Paul? What would happen to Mariam? Mariam would collapse and move forward, right? Because there'll be a lot of tension this side. And the same if I had to move Paul up to Yusuf, what would happen to Mariam? They'd actually pull her towards them. Same with Mariam if they have to move them up. You see, the thing is, as Christians, if there's not a balance between our body and our soul and our spirit, we won't be able to give God our best. There needs to be a balance between these three for us to live a life where we are able to give God our best. If you've got too much of, whose spirit? Mariam. If you've got too much of the spirit, not saying spirit as in Holy Spirit, you can never have enough of the Holy Spirit. If you have too much spirit or you're too spiritual, there'll be a balance and it'll be completely off. If you have too much mind, you try to, who's the mind? Paul's the body. You're the soul. So soul is the mind. If you've got too much soul or too much mind, you will think too much about things. Who's ever met a person who overthinks? Yeah, like most of us, right? We overthink stuff. And what would happen if we focus too much on the body? We would neglect the spirit and the mind. A typical example is a bodybuilder, right? Bodybuilders put a lot of energy into their body, but they neglect those aspects of their lives. So they neglect their mind and they neglect their spirit. Okay, thank you guys. I'll take the rope. You guys can have a seat. Let's give them a hand. Thank you for helping. Thank you, Paul. Okay, so I just want to touch on a couple of things. The body. The physical body is the element in which both soul and spirit are contained. So your body contains your spirit and contains your soul, right? In other words, the body is also known as the cover that encases both the soul and the spirit. Here are three main reasons that can explain why God has given us a physical body. God didn't wake up one day and go, oh, let me just make something out of dust and clay. He made your body with a specific reason and a specific task, right? Because otherwise you'd flopping around like a fish, right? He gave you limbs and hands and feet and a brain and ears and nose, everything for a purpose. Quickly do this. Take your hand like this. Put it over your nose and hold it tight for me. Okay, and I want you to say after me, say, I am sitting on a yellow blue chair. Okay, now take your hand off your nose, put it over your mouth. Now I want you to say the exact same thing. I want you to say, I am sitting on a yellow blue chair. Okay, take your hands off. If we don't use our body correctly, it will be abused and misused. That is why we need to learn that our hands are not for to cover our noses or to cover our mouths. Our hands are to do the things of the Lord. Okay, so three things. A body is associated with doing the will of God. A body is for doing things on the earth. So the prime reason we have a physical body is for the purpose of doing the will of God. Romans 16, verse 13. We have a physical body for reproductive purposes. The Bible is very clear about the fact that spiritual beings cannot reproduce since they are genderless beings, which means that angels are created in large quantity. However, as humans, God only made two individuals and gave them the ability to give birth to future generations. A physical body allows us to enjoy and fit into creation. Another reason as to why we have a physical body is due to the fact that we were made to dwell in a physical world. Our physical bodies allows us to enjoy the beauty of this world and to dwell in it. So that's the body, right? Let's quickly look at the soul. The soul is an immaterial element, right? A body you can touch. So touch your body. Sorry, wrong function. Shoulder. Okay, so you can touch your body. Can you touch your spirit? No, but you can see your spirit move. You can see the Spirit of God move. Can you touch your mind? You can't really touch your mind, but you can use your mind, right? So the soul, in other words, the soul is similar to our spirit. It is the very element in which intellect, emotion, and free will are housed. The soul is the element which controls the body in three areas. The soul is immortal in a sense that it can be destroyed. Therefore, it remains alive even if it's dead. Since we have a free will, since that's where our free will is allocated. Okay, so I'm quickly going to touch on these three things. Our soul gives us the ability to think, choose, imagine, and remember and feel. Most importantly, the soul is the very embodiment of our mind and our heart. As a result, our mind is a very important part that Satan often attacks. As Christians, one of the things that we struggle with a lot of times is the renewal of our mind. Me as a person, as a man, when I walk out and I walk up towards Westfield, my mind gets bombarded with images of half-naked women. I walk into Westfield. I haven't even walked halfway up and I've been bombarded by swearing, by cursing, by obnoxious music, by random people doing random things, walking their dog, whatever. But your mind and your physical body gets bombarded by things. Your senses get overwhelmed. And that is an area where Satan attacks us as Christians. Now, if we want to give God our best, we need to be able to control that aspect in our body. And we do that through the Word of God. The Bible says that we need to renew our mind by the washing of the Word. Does that mean I need to climb in the shower with the Bible and wash myself with the Bible? No. No, Aljun, definitely not. Definitely not. What it means is that as I read Scripture and as I read the Bible, it goes over my spirit, and through my spirit, God gives me revelation. Maybe I'm dealing with failure or depression or whatever, but when I read the Word of God, it tells me, no, I've got a purpose, I've got a plan, and it takes the negative thing that I'm dealing with and turns it into the truth of what the Bible says. Okay. Gosh, guys, come on, that was a good, I thought that was nice. Yeah. So, sometimes I write stuff and I read stuff and I'm like, wow, Lord, you know, it speaks to me. Neither me or Pastor Pete, when we stand up here, we haven't arrived. We haven't got everything together. We're learning as we prepare the sermons, as we go through stuff. And it's so important that we know that we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey to discover what God wants us to do and what the best way is to do those things. I'm going to skip ahead. Let's go to spirit. The human spirit is the element given to men in order to enable them to know God intimately through a genuine relationship. Our human spirit is what connects us with God. To be connected with God is to be alive in the spirit, while to be disconnected from God is to be dead spiritually. Our human spirit is the element through which the Spirit of God dwells in us and after being regenerated by Him. So the Holy Spirit, once you give your life to God, it says, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and makes His home in us. We become a temple of God and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is the one that counsels us, that leads us, that walks beside us. Who remembers the illustration I did a couple of weeks ago when I took Jason and I walked with Jason? And I said that when you, if you walk hand in hand with someone, that is how God walks with you. God walks next to you. He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. But you won't know God walks next to you unless you look at Him, unless you talk to Him, unless you relate and react to Him. Right? Okay. We understand receiving and discerning spiritual truth through the human spirit by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, we serve and worship God through our spirit. James, there's an image of a triangle. Will you just pop it up on the stage, on the screen for me? Okay. I just want us to look at that, right? When we want to give God our best, this is how it works. It says the Holy Spirit brings information and revelation from God to our spirit. And through our spirit, it gets filtered into our soul, and you choose to think and speak on the acts and the things that God says. A lot of Christians, a lot of people are extremely negative. It's hard to be in a conversation with them for more than 5 minutes without getting negatively affected. When last have you met a person who's actually positive? When last have you met a Christian that's actually positive, that's actually speaking life and not death? You see, the Bible says that there's power in our tongues, that is by the spoken word of God that the universe was created. We need to learn to control our tongues and speak what God says, the truths that God say. We don't need to speak lies. And it's been really interesting if you watch politics and stuff around the world. Media is extremely negative at the moment. There's a lot of negative stuff happening. But it's our responsibility as the church to speak what? The good news of Jesus. If I've got good news, I don't go to you like this. I don't go, Max, I've got something to tell you. I just won $1 million. Right? I don't do that. How am I going to say it? I'm like, Max, I won $1 million! Right? Right? We have to spread the good news in a positive way. Sorry, Max. The poor boy just got such a fright. Sorry. I want to read one more scripture for us, and then I've got a short clip to show you. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy before God, the kind you will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behaviors of the world or the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. That's Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. If we want to give God our best, right? I want to give God my best. Why do I want to give God my best? We're saying, like, God, we dare you to give God your best. But why do you want to give God your best? It's not a trick question. It's a question that makes you think. If I had to read that scripture again, the one I read at the beginning, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Right? Why do we need to love God that way? You see, we're living in a generation and a time where people are dying for their faith. Recently in Thailand, there were a spate of terrorist attacks. People die for their faith on a weekly basis. Yet when we as Christians gather and we get together, we struggle to say amen or praise God. And it's not in a way to bring condemnation or anything. It's something I struggle with. You walk outside there are people there that boldly declare their faith. Whatever they believe in, whatever religion they believe in, they are not afraid to say who they believe in. Right? But when it comes to Christianity, we've got so many Christians that are afraid to say, I've decided to follow Jesus and I want to give him my everything. You see, when we as a church decide finally one day to stand up and to speak and to be Jesus' hands and his feet, the world will start changing. The world will turn towards the church because they will realize the church is the place where they would get their help, their need, and that Jesus is the only answer. No other religion will satisfy like Jesus will. He is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. So I want to show a little video while I send these guys off to go get dressed. Thank you, guys. You can look on the screens. Yeah. Maybe this morning you find yourself in a place where you want to give up, or you want to maybe just let go. Maybe life's too hard. Maybe the things that you're dealing with, family, finances, whatever you're dealing with this morning, God is next to us, just like that coach, encouraging us not to give up, to keep going. Because a lot of times, your greatest breakthrough is moments before you give up. And so this morning, what I want us to do, that as a church, as these kids declare their faith in Jesus and make a public declaration that the enemy has been defeated and that they will serve Jesus for the rest of their lives, I want us as a church to know that God is with us, that the Holy Spirit is with us, that God wants us to stand up as Christians and be counted. Not just to sit by and idly watch the world go by. Maybe you at your work, there's someone dealing with something. Put your hand on their shoulder and give them an encouraging word. You don't have to preach at them, but you can love on them. I believe that we as a church are moving into a time where we have to be active in our faith. We have to demonstrate, just like these kids this morning, that we actually believe in Jesus Christ. Great if we come to church on a Sunday and sit here for an hour and a half, but there's so much more to Christianity. There's so much more to a living relationship with God. And in this series, we've been asking questions that are tough, questions about faith, questions about what we believe. And the goal of this is that we won't just be Christians who sit down, but we will be Christians that move, that are active, that are salt and light, that are light in a dark world. So I just want us to close our eyes, and I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. And then what I want to ask is, we're going to sing one more song, and Pastor Peter and I are going to go get dressed in our most beautiful swimwear. It's not funny. It's the truth. It's the truth. Yeah, so let's close our eyes. Father, this morning, we come to you as your church. God, just like that video, God, maybe some of us this morning feel that we want to give up. We want to give up on family members. We want to give up on uncles or brothers or sisters. We want to give up on jobs. We want to give up on houses. We want to give up on churches. God, we want to give up on the government. We want to give up on nations. But God, this morning we pray that we will open our ears and we will listen to your voice as you encourage us to keep moving forward. Father, we thank you that you are with us all the days of our lives. God, that you are going ahead of us, preparing a way. And Father, no matter what we face, you are there for us. And so God, we pray that you'll give us strength this morning. God, you say in your word that it's not by might or power, but it's by the Spirit of God. So we pray, God, that you'll strengthen us in our inner man, as the book of Jude says. That you'll strengthen us, God. Give us the resolve to not give up. Give us the faith, Father, to pray a little longer, to pray a little harder, God. To love when it's hard to love. To reach out when it's hard to reach out, Father. Help us this morning, God, not just to come to church and sit idly, but to be active in our faith. To invite people over, to love on people, God. To do things we've never done before so that a world will change and turn its eyes towards you, Father. Because you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this morning, we give it all to you. Every issue, every burden, every single thing that we are facing, because we know that you alone are able. You alone are able. Amen. Church, I just want to say one more thing. Maybe today we've got a lot of guests, and maybe you've come to church, you've been to church, but you've never actually given your life to God. These kids, they've made a decision to say, I've given my life to Jesus, I'm going to live for Him. Maybe you've come to church and you've never declared that. You've never confessed your sins and given your heart to God. And if you would like to give your heart to God, if you want to come and just give it all to Him this morning, after the service, we've got a pastoral team in our church, and they will be in the front. Pastor Pete will be around, but we'll be wet. But please come up and speak to us. You see, God died on the cross for you. He died for you to set you free from everything that you're struggling with and everything that you're facing. So don't let a moment like that slip by. Make right with God. Give your life to God.